Yay, you're back. So thrilled that you're here with me today. I am sharing a conversation with two people I find absolutely delightful, Layla and Kevin Palmer. If you already follow The Lettered Cottage on Instagram, you already love them. I have been following their home decor account for over 10 years. And that is saying something. If an account makes the cut for more than 10 years, that is a vote of confidence. I truly enjoy watching them. They are hilarious, endearing, and so talented. So let's dive into our episode, The Pioneer of Education. I'm Sharon McMahon, and welcome to the Sharon Says So podcast.
Yay! I'm so excited. Kevin and Layla Palmer are here with me today. Just some of my favorite humans that I have truly enjoyed following on Instagram and on your blog for over a decade.
Which is like, what did I say? What did I say? You know what I mean? Because that's a long time ago. I was a different person. Yeah.
Well, nothing. You haven't said anything other than just being your delightful self.
Thank you.
I find other people's like homes beautiful and lovely and whatever, but decorating is not my gig. I still love to follow you.
Government isn't my gig, but right. I still love to follow you.
Look at how that works. So I have a story today that I want to share with you that I think you're actually going to get a kick out of. I think you're going to leave and be like, didn't know that. That is interesting.
That's so, every time we visit your account.
Yes, exactly. Every time.
Well, I've not heard that story before. Okay. You guys have probably heard, however, of the name Noah Webster. Do you know who he is?
Oh boy.
It's not a quiz. If you don't, you'll figure out who he is. Okay. So Noah Webster, born in the United States in the 1750s.
Wow. That's why I don't know him.
My 1750 genealogy is shaky.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Born in the 1750s, so predates the Constitution. He was very, very bright as a child. And of course, education at the time was something that was provided to people of means. To get an extended education was something special. And his parents really had to sacrifice to be able to pay for his education. They had to sacrifice for him to be able to go to Yale. They had to mortgage their house. College was free at the time, but you had to pay for room and board to go to college, which put it out of the reach of most common citizens.
Yeah.
He's this extremely bright young man. He goes to college when he's 16 in 1774, which is right before the Revolutionary War.
Right.
Right. So like Boston Tea Party, where America's getting real fed up, where they're like, we're almost ready to be done.
Yeah.
If you don't make some changes, we're out of here.
Okay.
Noah Webster reported catching a glimpse of George Washington as George Washington, who had just been appointed commander of the army by Congress, as George Washington was heading north through Connecticut to Boston, where he was going to begin military skirmishes with the British. Noah Webster was like playing the flute in the band when he saw George Washington.
Okay.
That was like one of his big claims to fame. He later became friends with George Washington.
Wow.
He did have to leave Yale for a while because his community was called up to fight in the Revolutionary War. He and his brothers and his dad get their guns and they're going to march off to battle. And then by the time they almost get there, they hear that it's over. We won that one.
Finish.
So go ahead and go home.
Wow.
So things were a little different than they are now, where you just like, everyone in this town better get a gun and start walking to New York, right?
Exactly.
We're going to see what's up when we get there.
And I'm curious about the flute.
I like that he was playing a flute.
Okay, yeah.
What else would you want to be doing while seeing George Washington?
Exactly.
Really,
true.
Other than playing a flute. It seems very apropos. So he returns back home. He finishes his degree at Yale. He decides, I want to be an attorney, because that was kind of like the thing that educated men studied. They studied the law. His parents were like, we have no more money. We cannot help you. There's nothing. I'm sorry. So he decides, I guess I can't become a lawyer. What else can I do with all of these skills that I have developed, all of my intellect? I'm going to become a teacher.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Nice.
So he decides to become a teacher. He later got a job in Sharon, Connecticut as a teacher, which I thought was very cute. Very cute. During the late 1770s, he described the conditions in the one-room schoolhouses as absolutely deplorable. This was his quote about the one-room schoolhouse situation. The one-room schoolhouse was a very poor system of education. They were ill-heated, ill-lit. The textbooks were poorly written and scarce. The teachers were ill-paid. And the guiding rule of the schoolhouse was to spare the rod and spoil the child. A class might have 50 to 70 students with one teacher.
Whoa, I just broke out in hives.
Can you imagine 70 kids ages 6 to 16?
Wow.
In one room, no teacher listening to this would be like, that sounds great.
No.
He, after teaching for a couple of years, is like, this is bananas. These textbooks are trash. We just fought the Revolutionary War to get away from this ridiculous King of England. And all of our textbooks were written in England, and they're constantly talking about swearing allegiance to the king.
Oh, right.
Do I have any other options?
Okay.
Like, I don't want to teach this. So he realizes, no, there are no other options. I'll make my own textbooks. And so he wrote these several different textbooks. His first textbook became so wildly popular that over the course of the next 100 years, he sold 100 million copies of his textbook, which colloquially was known as the blue-backed speller.
That's a lot of books.
You know, like all of the school children of the United States, almost all, would get a new copy every year. And so that's part of what drove demand for his books. In his books, he wanted to infuse this idea that America was really different and also really better.
Oh, look at him go.
So he's in some ways writes American exceptionalism, American nationalism into his textbooks. This is one of the things he said about America. This is why he wanted to change the textbooks. He said, America, she laughs at their folly, meaning the folly of England, and shuns their errors. She founds her empire upon the idea of universal toleration. She admits all religions into her bosom. She secures the sacred rights of every individual. And to the astonishing absurdity of Europeans, she sees 1,000 discordant opinions live in the strictest harmony.
Oh, I just got the goosies.
He went on to say that America will go down with the glory of ancient Greece and Rome. He was riding high on this idea of like the British Empire was defeated by some dudes with muskets.
Right.
Wow.
You know, who had no training and no materials and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yes. So his idea was America doesn't need just political independence. It needs cultural independence from England. And so he begins writing about the American use of language, how Americans used words differently than they did in England. He started including American geography. Mm. And there were words that people in England didn't know, like the words
colloquially.
Like the word skunk and squash and things that were unique to North America.
Interesting.
You don't want to, in school, learn only British geography.
That's right.
So he starts going systematically state to state, trying to make friends with all of the leaders of the state and trying to convince them that they should use his textbooks. After he meets with them, he asks for referrals. Can you introduce me to this other person? And he becomes extremely well known throughout the entire United States because of his concerted effort to meet the people in the know.
Wow.
He earned a half a cent royalty on every book that he sold. And so he obviously had a financial invested interest in wanting to sell as many of these textbooks as he could. Yeah. As a result of the publication of his Blueback Speller, which again was used very widely in the United States for 100 years, we invented a little contest that still exists today called the Spelling Bee.
Wow.
Oh, the Spelling Bee was a direct result of the educational reform efforts of Noah Webster, who thought children should learn how to use language appropriately, and that everybody should have an education. Both boys and girls should have an education. When he got married later in life, he and his wife had 8 children, and 6 of them were girls. Wow. And so they felt like girls should learn how to read and girls should learn how to
spell and do
more and learn geography and learn more than just how to cook and clean.
Sure, sure.
He later made friends with Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
And Alexander Hamilton liked Noah Webster, felt like this is a man we need in American politics. This is a man that we need at the forefront of political philosophy. Hamilton and Webster shared many of the same ideals. Webster was part of the Federalist Party that Hamilton helped found. But even though Webster had this very successful book sales, he had 8 kids and he traveled all the time and he didn't have a ton of money. And so Hamilton said, listen, I will send you $1,500 if you will move to New York City and begin editing the Federalist newspaper that I want to start.
Okay.
$1,500 in 1793.
Yeah. Or 2021. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If somebody sent you $1,500 today, you'd be like, dang, thanks.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still not a small amount of money. So he did that for a while, you know, became more well-known in politics. This is how he became friends with George Washington. And, you know, he moved to New York and started making a name for himself in politics. And then finally decides, I would like to be an elected representative. I think I have things to contribute. So he moved back to Connecticut where he came from and got elected to the Connecticut House of Representatives and, you know, started deciding, you know, like, I'm going to dip my toes in the water here.
Yeah.
Listen, I know if you pick up any kind of beauty magazine or you follow an influencer, there's like a new skincare product every single day of the week, and it can be really difficult to know which ones to even try, like which one is worth your money. And if you're tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, you might be excited to know that one of today's sponsors is OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy. No complicated routines, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I especially like the eye cream. It's not too thick where you feel like it's going to clog all your pores, but it goes on really, really nicely under makeup. For a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code SHARON when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps. That's oneskin.co, code SHARON. We've all had those embarrassing moments where maybe you've taken your shoes off and you realize like, oh no, that is not a good smell. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that again. Unlike certain other products, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way. It delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere one might like to use it. In fact, it was patients' concerns about odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant now has over 300,000 five-star reviews. And it works without using heavy perfumes that mask odor, which I really appreciate. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, which is my favorite, and two free products of your choice, like deodorant wipes or a mini body wash. It also has free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that's like 40% off their starter pack. So use code Sharon at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why are you feeling the way that you are? Do you not have enough boundaries? Are you less social this time of year? Is the spring sunshine starting to energize you? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings starting to pick up after the winter. I know so many people who have benefited from talking to a professional in therapy. A qualified mental health professional can help you learn positive coping skills like monitoring and protecting your social battery. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Sharon today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Sharon.
He also founded the Connecticut Society for the Abolition of Slavery. He felt that slavery was very morally wrong.
Right.
And believed that it should be abolished. But it was, of course, very difficult at the time to figure out how to make the South do that. Mm-hmm. How was the big question. Right.
Okay.
That's true of a lot of things. We've decided we should do X. How do we do that?
Exactly. Daily. That's right. That's right.
True of a lot of things. In 1800, he published an essay in which he announced his intentions to write a dictionary.
I knew that's where you were going. Okay.
At some point in all this, the light bulb flashed on.
Yes.
Because the only dictionary that existed was British.
Wow.
And he, again, had a strong disdain for the British educational system. Mm-hmm. And he believed in American exceptionalism, that we should have our own dictionary.
Got it.
As one can imagine, it's not a small endeavor to write a dictionary.
Right. I tried and I quit at letter B. Yeah.
Because you have to write all the definitions from scratch.
Wow.
Yes. He spent over 20 years writing the dictionary. His dictionary was not published, like his full dictionary. He published smaller versions of it, but his tome, his magnum opus, was not published until 1828. So 28 years it took him to write the dictionary.
Just him sitting in a room the whole time. I'm kidding.
Alone, while his wife cared for the 8 children. Writing the dictionary. So in order to write the dictionary, he needed to learn 26 languages. Because English is that complicated.
Right.
And he had to write definitions for 70,000 words.
Did he make a lot of them up?
He did not make up the words.
Okay.
But many of the words were never in any British dictionary. In fact, they estimated that he defined 30 to 40,000 of the words that made it into the dictionary that had never been in any dictionary before.
But that were being used somewhere else.
That were being used in America. Yes.
Okay.
He also is the reason we do not spell things the way they do in England.
Okay.
He is the man who was like, we are not going to spell color with an O-U-R.
O-U-R.
We're going to spell it C-O-L-O-R.
Because
he felt like language should be easier. We should not have extraneous letters that make it harder to understand for the average person.
My kind of guy.
About to say.
So, for example, in Britain, they spell the word check, C-H-E-Q-E.
Right.
And he was like, we should just spell this with an E-C-K.
Right.
Come on.
Yep. The word plow in Britain is spelled O-U-G-H.
Right.
And it's O-W in the United States.
Right.
They spell things like center with an R-E, and we spell it with an E-R. And words like music used to have a K at the end, M-U-S-I-C-K.
Right.
And he was like, don't need that K.
Oh,
get rid of it.
He doesn't have time. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Yeah.
No time. There were a few words that his proposed spelling didn't catch on.
Oh.
Like he decided that tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E, that's weird. How would I look at that and know that it says tongue?
Right.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. He believed tongue should be spelled like lung, T-U-N-G.
I get it.
Why
that makes more sense than tongue.
Than tongue. Like tongue and lung.
Yeah.
They rhyme.
Yeah.
Let's make it easy. But that one never caught on. A few of the other words that he added, just that are, you know, off the top of my head that he added, were things like chowder and hickory. Again, uniquely American things that didn't exist in any British dictionaries.
Wow.
When he published his dictionary, he sold 5,500 copies of it. Half of them he sold in England.
Wow.
Because it had 70,000 words in it. And the best dictionary they had only had 30,000 words.
Got it. Okay. So it was about...
I can't even wrap my head around how long that would take.
28 years.
Yep.
28 years.
Right? Wow.
Hard at work.
Yeah. I have a hard time just remembering to take out the trash and fold the laundry.
Right. Like the focus.
Yeah.
The focus that it had to take. So here's one of the other issues that he tackled that very well known in American society that we have Noah Webster to thank, which is the idea of a federal copyright.
Wow.
Before the works of Noah Webster, every state had their own copyright laws.
Okay.
And he was like, this is not what is best for America, because he felt like America needed its own writers, its own artists. We should not be relying on European writers and artists. We should have our own artistic literary community. And if we want that to proliferate, we need to protect their works. Before that, you know, it was very mishmash, very, you know, like every state doing their own thing. If you wanted to publish the blueback speller in every state of the union, you had to figure out the copyright in every single state and apply, and it would expire. Oh. I got to do it over here.
Wow.
You know, it just was, it was way too messy. And so because he had spent all of these years cultivating political friendships, he was invited to testify before Congress about the issues of copyrights in the United States. They agreed to pass federal copyright law, and he was invited to dinner at the White House by Andrew Jackson and was allowed to watch Jackson sign the copyright law into law.
Existence.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
After his, you know, success publishing the Blueback Speller and his success getting the federal copyright protections, he then decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come out with my own version of the Bible. I'm going to come up with my own version of the Bible. Now, he was fluent in Greek and Hebrew. And again, as I mentioned, he studied 26 languages. He was very respectful of the King James version of the Bible, which was published in the 1600s. And he was not going to undertake a new translation of the Bible from the original language. What he wanted to do was replace some of the language from the 1600s. Again, which was from the British version English in the 1600s, and make it make sense in 1830s America.
Okay.
So this is one of his quotes about his undertaking of his version of the Bible. He says, "In my own view of this subject, a version of the scriptures for popular use should consist of words expressing the sense which is most common in popular usage." So basically saying words used to mean something different. And when it said that a long time ago, we don't understand what that means in today's language.
Right.
Smart.
So, for example, King James Bible said things like 60. And he's like, why shouldn't we just say 60?
Right.
You know, and it described people as mad. And in the 1830s, people would have used the word insane because we came to understand mad as meaning angry.
Right.
And, you know, words in the King James Version that talked about a city in the Bible being fenced. Mm-hmm. He was like, in America, a fence just kind of like keeps your sheep in.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
So he replaced words like fenced with fortified. Which is more descriptive of what they were talking about. If you're fortifying a city,
right?
That's true.
Not putting some posts, wooden posts around a city.
Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What's that doing?
Yes.
Also, one of the things he talked about was in the Bible, they use the word coast to refer to the borders of a region. In America, we understand coast to mean along the seashore.
Right.
And at that time, it meant all of the borders, inland and otherwise.
Right.
So he was like, let's just use border. And then Americans will understand this more.
Yeah.
He is also the reason most of the American Christian church uses the term Holy Spirit instead of Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Because he was like, a ghost is like a creepy apparition of a dead person.
That's right.
Wow, that is so interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Wow.
It's like a negative connotation.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. He is the person who was like, you know what? Let's go with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That is more accurate up to our understanding.
Yep.
It's got more life to it versus like death.
Yeah, right. He was also very upset that there were a lot of grammatical errors in the Bible.
He was a grammar hammer.
He was. Yes.
Okay.
So he wanted to fix some of the grammar, but he also wanted to fix some of the words in the Bible that, as he described, make a woman blush.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Tell me more.
This is what he said. Language which cannot be uttered in company without a violation of decorum or the rules of good breeding exposes the scriptures to the scoffs of unbelievers. It impairs the scripture's authority. You know how we say like a dog was put to sleep? It just feels more comfortable to us than to be like, we paid someone to kill our dog.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just used language that just softened it.
It softened it.
And then you didn't have to blush reading it to your children by the fire.
Right.
Yeah.
In the introduction, he actually outlines, here is what I have changed. It never became, you know, the King James Bible, but he didn't intend it to be. It was based on the King James Bible. It was just meant to be more accessible to Americans during that time period.
Wow.
He never stopped revising his dictionaries.
Mm.
Never stopped. Like came out with a second edition in 1840, shortly before he finished writing an appendix to the second edition of his dictionary that, you know, wasn't going to be published yet, but was going to be published in the future. This is in 1843. A couple days later, he starts not feeling well.
Uh-oh.
And it becomes clear that he's going to die. He's an old man by this point. After he died, rights to his dictionary were acquired by some brothers, George and Charles Merriam. And it's now known as the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Wow, that's, grew up with it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's how it all ties together.
That is so cool.
You can find the Merriam-Webster Dictionary online. If you go to m-w.com, that's the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
We have one, like a hard copy of one in the house.
Noah Webster not only revolutionized education at the time in the United States, he defined tens of thousands of words that had never been defined before. He standardized spelling across the entire United States. He's why we spell words differently than they do in Canada or England. And he's the father of the copyright in the United States.
Uh-huh. What a perfect person to talk about. Because we are the lettered cottage. Is that why you picked him?
I just thought Layla would love this story.
Oh, you know it.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
The only thing is the spelling bee. There were times when I was standing in elementary school, my heart pounding and my palms sweaty. I'm like, oh gosh.
I loved this quote of his, and I'll end this story here. I thought this was such a, just like, that is still applies to today.
Okay.
He said, in selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate. Look to his character.
Mic drop.
Yep. I love it.
Drop.
I still love it.
Yep.
Let's print it out.
Yes, literally. That should be at the top of every ballot.
Serious.
Right?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Where was he located? You know, I'm all about a place. Mm-hmm. So
Connecticut. Yep. Okay. His home is a historic site now.
Wow.
The Webster House. Yes. You can easily find it online. Yeah.
RV trip.
Yeah. RV trip.
This was so fun.
It was.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. I would love to have you back.
We would love to be back. And, you know, we're hoping to head home to Minnesota soon.
Not everybody knows that both Layla and I are from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
See, he can do it now, too.
Yeah. Cool. I'm just going to sneak behind you.
Right?
Don't worry about it. Do you still say that? I'm going to sneak behind you.
We do say we're just bumming around.
That was a new one for me. Yeah, just bumming.
Tell everybody where to find you.
So we're at Lettered Cottage on Instagram.
And I want you to tell everybody about the children's book you have coming up too.
So it's The Happy Crab. It's coming out this year.
Yes, and you can pre-order it now.
You can.
Yes.
It's on Amazon and it is released October 12th. Kevin had been a songwriter for 20 years and I've been blogging for more than a decade and we kind of pooled our talents. And once we had kids, we understood how important literature and teaching lessons in that way really was.
Mm-hmm. Right. The power of story.
Yeah. Mm. Nice. Like it makes you feel like a little kid again to do a children's book.
Yeah.
Mm, I love that.
Kevin's dad was a cartoonist for 40 years. So
he was?
He was a political cartoonist.
Was he?
Yes. So
I love that.
Was really cool.
Yes.
And then it's super sweet, I think. Every week, he would hide a little symbol for Kevin and his brother in the cartoon.
Aww.
On the front page of the political section.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with me. I have a lot of admiration for people who do that well. Political cartoonists are the reason we have the elephant and donkey symbols for the Republican and Democratic parties. Those were just political cartoonists.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really hope you will agree to come back. This was perfect. I loved chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you so much for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast. I am truly grateful for you. And I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast or maybe leave me a rating or a review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All of those things help podcasters out so much. I cannot wait to have another mind-blown moment with you next episode. Thanks again for listening to the Sharon Says So podcast.